Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, we continue with the series on following the way, practicing the way. Over the last 6 weeks, we have tried to heed the call of Jesus to follow him, to apprentice under Jesus, to organize our life around three goals: be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do as he did. Apprenticing under Jesus means practicing the Jesus way. Wasn't it great that we just sang that song? Over the last few weeks, we have looked at the importance of paying attention to the things that form us, the things that transform us. We were asked to consider our habits, our relationships, our stories, our environment, our time, our experience. All of those things form us. In order to become like Jesus, we were encouraged to look closely at the way Jesus lived, to follow his lead, to observe his way of being. In order to be like Jesus, in order to do what Jesus did, we were encouraged on Sundays and in life groups to try practicing some spiritual disciplines, things that would bring us closer to God, things that would allow us to go into the presence where the Spirit could transform us. We were encouraged to pray. We were encouraged to practice Sabbath. We were encouraged to slow down and be quiet before God. As John Mark Comer mentions, often when we slow down, the unhealed wounds of a lifetime rise to the surface, and we see our brokenness, and we realize we need a healer, we need a savior, we need a rescuer. And often, in moments of quiet, I hate when this happens, in moments of quiet, our unconfessed sin rears its ugly head, and we realize that we still have much to do, and we still have much to confess. The Jesus way is to meet God in our brokenness, in our pain, and in our sin. And it is in these moments when we are most vulnerable, when in essence we are naked before God. In those moments, God heals us, God transforms us, and God makes us a little bit more like Jesus. But unfortunately, as we all know, this process of transformation is that, a process. It's not one and done. Hopefully, with each encounter, we are becoming more like Christ, but we're not quite there yet. So how in the world, if we're not quite there yet, how in the world are we to be like Jesus and do what Jesus does? I can hear people saying, wait a minute, I can't do these things because I've got a long road ahead. Well, let's listen to what Jesus says about that. Remember, he's talking to his disciples, and he knows that it's only going to be a matter of days, weeks, before he will be gone from their midst. And he is going to ask them to do many things. And they are probably thinking, but I can't do that. I'm not you. I don't have a direct line with God. And this is what he says. John 15:4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus emphasized first that it's a mutual relationship. That it's a mutual relationship. It is not only that the disciple must remain with the master, but that the master remains with the disciple. In essence, Jesus is assuring us, as he did the disciples, that he is committed to us, that he is committed to remain with us for the long haul. However, it's a mutual relationship. And it's important to remember that the disciples were told they must remain, they must abide in him. He is telling them that they must consciously choose to remain in him, to decide to do things, make choices, and make decisions that will expose themselves and keep themselves in contact with him. And Jesus tries to emphasize this vital relationship by talking about a branch and a vine. If the branch is not connected to the vine, it will not bear fruit. If we are not connected to Jesus, we cannot love as he does. We cannot do what he did, plain and simple. It is impossible for a branch to bear grapes if it is not connected to the vine. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Fruit bearing is inevitable if we remain in the vine. If you are connected to Jesus, you will bear fruit. Plain and simple. Jesus is love. If you are connected to him, you will show his love. His love will flow through you to the world. If we are connected to Jesus, we will be a reflection of Christ's love to the world. Now, the quality and quantity of this reflection will be based on your spiritual formation. But you will bear fruit. If you are connected to the vine, you will bear fruit. But before we move on, just an aside. Jesus used the vine and the branches because he wanted them to understand the connection. And people in Israel saw a lot of grapes. They saw a lot of vines. So we use that analogy. But if Jesus were here today, and he was in the community garden, and you happened to be there with him, he might say to you, think about me as the water source, and you as the hose. In order for you to water my garden, your hose must be connected to the source. If your hose is not connected to the source, there is no way that you can water the garden. Sometimes we get mixed up when God asks us to do something and we say, but I can't do that. You need to remember that God will do it through you. That God will do it through you. If you're the hose and Jesus is the water, of course the hose has no water, but if it's connected to the source, the water will flow. So the idea that you might say, but I'm not like Jesus. I'm nothing like Jesus. I can't do what God is calling me to do. Give your head a shake. What God is saying, connect to me. Connect to my son. And through that connection, I will do what I will do. Your choice as the hose is to stay connected. Okay, so getting back to the image of the vine and branches, it's becoming very clear that we need to remain attached to the vine so that we can bear fruit, so we can be like Jesus, so we can do what Jesus does. Now, something I just wanted to point out. Remember when there was that saying that was going on where everything you do, you should ask the question, what would Jesus do? Do you guys remember that? We'd go around, you'd stop. We were from the pulpit. Every time you think about making a decision, take a step back. What would Jesus do? I want to change that a bit. What would Jesus do if he were me living in my reality today? Because a first century rabbi is going to do some very different things than a single mom with three toddlers. So the question is, Jesus, if you were me, what would you do in my reality? So the question is, okay, if we're supposed to be attached to the vine, how do we remain attached? And Nona, you have a picture. Recognize that? Do you know what that is? For those of you who have traveled up to the Okanagan, that is a winery. And those are vines. If you take a close look at the picture, you will see a support system among the vines and branches. Do you see it? In order for the vine to bear much fruit, it needs a support system, kind of like a trellis, to lift its branches off the ground and to index them to the light. Let's look at the other photo. Okay, that's a better look at it. This support system gives the branches room to breathe, and it guides their growth in a desired direction. Without a support system, the branches would bear a fraction of the fruit, and that fruit would be vulnerable to disease, damage, and predators. And if you can think about that, if there was no trellis, if there was no support system, half the branches would be on the ground, and half the branches would be munched by predators. Thank you, Nona. In the same way, if we are followers of Jesus, we have to abide in the vine, so we need to figure out our support structure. We need to identify the practices, the rhythms that will create space for us to be with Jesus, to be like him, and to do as he did. So how do we build this support structure? For those of you in life groups, you're going to talk about this at great length. John Mark Comer talks about crafting a rule of life. But for us today, we're just going to talk simply. How do we craft a rule of life? How do we establish rhythms? How do we do things that keep us connected with Jesus? Well, over the last 6 weeks, you have been told or encouraged to try some things. Praying daily, finding some time for quiet, to be still, to practice Sabbath, to read scripture, to experiment with some of the disciplines. Today, I'm asking you to think about how it went. How did it go? How did you find the practices? Were they easy? Were they hard? I know that some of you, when you were revisiting the practices, remembered, oh yeah, I used to do this when I was younger. Oh yeah, I used to pray more regularly. And some of you found that it was a great doorway, a great pathway to God. But for others, daily prayer, Bible reading, solitude, seeking quiet, fasting were totally new experiences. Experiences some of you tried, but none of you incorporate it into your regular routines. So I want you to think back on those practices and ask yourself, were they hard or were they easy? Were there moments when you actually got in touch with God? Where you went right to the throne of grace? Where you could be naked and broken? Where you were healed? If the answer is yes, then make those practices part of your routine, part of your rhythm. If the answer was no, or if you haven't tried any yet, keep experimenting with different disciplines and different ways of practicing the disciplines, because you need to find a structure that will hold your branch up. Remember that our transformation is 99.9999999 God. The rest is us, but we do have to show up. We do have to show up. We do have to be present. And how are we present? We are present through the practices, through the things that bring us close to God. So we need to find the ones that work for us. As we end this series, it is no good if you haven't found a practice that brings you close to God. Remember, they can look different for everyone. Remember, practicing a practice perfectly is never the goal. Getting the rhythm right is never the goal. Abiding with Jesus is the goal. Abiding with Jesus is the goal. Accessing the power of the Holy Spirit is the goal. Becoming like Jesus is the goal. Think again about the trellis that we saw. A support system also has guardrails. Often we need to put up guardrails to avoid us heading in the wrong direction. So have you noticed anything in the last 6 weeks that's been pulling you away from Jesus? Is there anything you've been doing that makes it really hard to create time and space for God? Is there a hobby or a habit that is taking too much of your time? Often when we build a support structure, it's just as much about subtraction as it is addition. More about cutting things out than about adding things to our daily routine. As we strive to abide in Jesus, we need to build a support system. We need to build a support system. Some of us have it already. Some of us pray every day, and I say bravo. But some of us are still in the process, and that is okay. But the whole purpose of a structure is so that when the wind comes, when the animals come, when the snow comes, there's something holding you up. There's something holding you up. So start small if you have not a practice. Start with maybe daily Bible reading, or maybe a prayer. And remember what I said about prayer. Prayer can be an hour long, or prayer can be, good morning, God, I'm here, I give you this day, amen. It can be that simple, okay? It can be that simple. Your daily routine could mean walking. Some of you walk every day, some of you run every day. I don't know how you do it, but awesome. And that might be a time when you can talk to God too. Everybody's driving in their car. At some point in time, you might want to say a prayer or two. Please do not close your eyes. Keep your hands on the wheel. But that might be the only time, so take that time. Build it in. Build some kind of a structure in. You may decide that the way to meet God is to listen to music. Just Christian music, or even just great music. And all of a sudden, you are aware of God. Maybe it's as simple as taking coffee or tea and sitting outside, whether it's raining, snowing, or sunny, and thinking, God, your creation is amazing. It doesn't have to start big. Start where you are. For those of you who have already got a routine, add something. Add something. Remember, there is no one-size-fits-all approach. The key is to build a support system that is customized to you, your personality, your circumstances. The key is to establish a rhythm that will keep you abiding in Jesus every moment of every day, regardless of your circumstances. Nona, can you give me that last slide? That is the goal. That is the goal, to bear fruit. Listen again. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. In a few moments, the band will come forward and play two songs. Please use this time to reflect, to pray, to listen, to sing, or to come forward for prayer. I'd like to open this time with a prayer taken from A Desert in the Ocean by David Adam. Let's pray. I open my life to you, Lord. I make space in this day for your coming. I move from busyness to your stillness. I move from songs to your silence. I move from insensitivity to awareness. I thrust out from the land and look to the heaven. I open my life to you. I open my heart to you. I open my ears to your call. I open my eyes to your presence. I open my life to you. Amen.